misconceptions on Islam, foster a peaceful coexistence, and guide the everyday Muslim on the journey in Islam. Everyday Muslim, Saturdays 11 a.m. on Women Radio 91.7. Simplified understanding of the Deen.
Shaitan Rajim, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Alhamdulillahir Rabbil Alameen, Salaamu Alaikum wa Rahmatullahi wa Barakatuh. You're welcome to today's episode of Everyday Muslim live on WFM 91.7. So, based on popular demand, 2 weeks ago we started a topic. We looked at, we started a conversation on faith through hardship, finding strength in tests and trials. Together with our guest, Imam Ridwan Jamil, we reflected on why hardships are part of a believer's journey and how they can even be a sign of Allah's love for his slaves. We also explored how to remain spiritually grounded when life feels heavy and how our communities can become a source of compassion instead of judgment. But there was a caveat: you need to know who you're talking to, because at the end of the day, we have people who share their stories with the wrong group, and it only further deepened their depression, right? So be careful who you share stories with. Ensure that there are those that really got your back and will lift you out of the trials as opposed to sinking you further. So today, inshallah, the journey doesn't end there. We intend to go further. So one thing is clear: hardship is not just an event. For many, it's a season of life, and guess what? Seasons go and come, so it's not permanent. And so in our conversation today, we hope that we can go even deeper by looking at how the Prophet Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he himself had these trials and how he responded to them, what lessons we can draw from the Quran and Sunnah, and of course how to hold on when the burden feels too heavy. So if you're listening right now, this is when you call your family and friends to tune in, because there's definitely something for everyone. Perhaps you're carrying your own quiet struggles or burdens. This episode is definitely for you, or you know someone going through one trial or the other. We're sharing life experiences. Imam did share some with us, you know, 2 weeks ago when we're here, and I'm sure he will do more. So, well, let's learn from the life of the Prophet himself. He's the perfect example to learn from. He went through untellable, unprintable trials, subhanAllah, and he, hopefully we can take lessons from his life and better our own lots. So Imam Ridwan Jamil will be the one to carry on with the part two. Most of you asked us to bring him back because there was more grounds to explore, and so he's back, inshallah ta'ala. Imam is a popular astaghfirullah, I'm sure he wouldn't like that, but you know, we know him, most of us know him either through having interacted with the Lemo Lekki Muslim Ummah at Lekki Central Mosque. So you would have encountered him. If you're familiar with Ramadan programs, he's always on. So, you know, he'll be the one to walk us through. He's a serial author. He's authored so many books in Islamic finance, in Arabic, Islamic studies, and the likes. He's currently the Imam at Lekki Central Mosque. And he's here with us. He's joining us virtually from his base. Imam, assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
You're welcome, sir. Jazakumullah khair for tuning in. So last time, 2 weeks ago, we started this journey looking at, finding strength in tests and trials, faith through hardship. That's what we're looking at. And people asked that we bring you back because there was a lot more grounds to explore. And that's why you're back here. So Imam, let's begin with the perfect example for us, or the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He endured tremendous personal and communal challenges. Can you share some examples with us of how he responded to this hardship and how those moments can serve as practical guidance for us today?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah. As-salatu was-salam ala Rasulillah. Thank you for inviting me again. We ask Allah to make this beneficial to us, and may He reward you all for putting up this for the Ummah.
Amen.
We are the beneficiaries of this whenever we talk about this, because when you teach, you are learning twice. So when we give something, when you talk, give talks like this, the speech makers, the teachers, we are also the among the first beneficiaries of whatever we say. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because challenges are part of life. So there is no way one will come. No one has ever come to this world unscathed. Everyone has his own portion of challenges, whether you are a believer or you are not a believer, because it's part of life. So life is punctuated with challenges. So it's like when you are walking on a road and you come across bumps. Those bumps may slow you down, but slowing you down is better generally than moving the way you may have preferred to move. So if you look at that is how life is. Life is punctuated with challenges. So each one, every one of us must have theirs. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ. He is the one who created life and death, لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ, to test you. So everything is a trial. Whether you are in prosperity or you are in adversity, you are being tried. This is why Allah says some people get everything wrong. He says, "For amal insan," that's in Surah Al-Fajr. He says, "For amal insan," but man, if wa amal bitalahu rabbuhu, when his Lord tests him, fa akramahu, he honors him, wa na'amahu, he grants him blessings. He says, "My Lord has honored me." Allah says, "Wa amma ibanu bitalahu." But if Allah tries him, and it constrains his source of sustenance. He doesn't have much, or he has challenges there or thereabout. He says, my Lord has humiliated me. What follows? Allah says, Kalla, both of you are wrong. The first is wrong. The second is wrong. You that have honored and have given blessings of life, it's not really honor, it's not really their blessings, but they are a trial only in disguise. They are only being tried. Allah wants to see what you are going to do with those blessings. Then the other one that says, Allah has humiliated me. Allah says, Kalla, you are also wrong. I've not humiliated you by testing you. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. I'm with you, sir.
Okay. So Allah says, I've not humiliated you by constricting your means of livelihood. I'm only testing both of you. The first one I'm testing is shukr. The other one I'm testing is sabr. The first one I'm testing is patience. Gratitude, thankfulness, and dedication to Allah. And the other one I'm testing is patience and endurance. So that is how life is. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, being our leader, he also faced with challenges of life, especially when he started his mission. He was known as Sadiq al-Amin, a truthful person, a trustworthy person, until when he brought his message, when the music changed. Someone everybody used to call, everybody loved him, then all eyes were on him again. So everybody was against him. So he suffered so much. There had been a time when he was forced to leave Makkah to go to a nearby place. Perhaps he would get some succor and refuge there. Unfortunately, what he got there was he was stoned and forced out. In fact, he stoned at a bled. So he was forced out. He ran his life together with the person who was with him, Zaid. They ran until they took shelter in an orchard. It was a mushrik man who felt for him and accommodated him. It was the person who supported him and gave him asylum back to Makkah where he had belonged, just because of Islam, his first of trial. But look at the end. He entered this Makkah triumphantly, even though before then his followers were persecuted. Many of them died within his eyes. He couldn't do anything. He couldn't raise any hand to support or help any of them. Sumaya was massacred. Her husband, Yasir, was killed while the Prophet was looking. He couldn't do anything.
Oh.
Bilal was, you know, a rock would be put on him in the that scorching sun of the Arabia. He couldn't do anything. So many of his companions were forced to migrate to Ethiopia, then later to Medina, leaving their belongings, leaving their family and properties, just for the sake of Allah, for the sake of Adin. If people suffered this for the deen and they endured, why shouldn't we endure when we suffer for worldly things? This we're suffering for and they endured, just for the deen. At all, if you have any worldly challenges, why shouldn't we? You should always remember these people. I want to go to buy you in the poor rest. That was, are you about 72
hours?
We just be patient and I will suffer with immersion. And this redeem is much more important than anything you can. When you enter Jannah, what's your problem again? When you enter Jannah, as soon as you die today, wallahi, if you are a righteous person, if you die today, irrespective of the manner of your death, you are victorious. You'll be treated like a king. As a woman, you'll be treated like a queen if you go back to Allah. You'll forget everything. Even if you were asked, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there will be some people among those who suffered most in this world. When they are admitted in Jannah, they spend a few seconds or a few minutes, they'll be brought out and asked, did you ever suffer? We say suffering. We don't even know what suffering is. And those who enjoy themselves most, but amongst the bad people, when they are admitted in hellfire and they are asked, just for a few seconds or minutes, you do whatever, enjoy yourself, enjoyment. You don't even know what enjoyment is. Just because of a few minutes they have spent in these destinations. So if some people could suffer this much for the sake of Allah, for the sake of the deen, and we are able to practice our deen peacefully, we should be happy. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the end, what happened? That Makkah, he conquered it triumphantly. He controlled it. That Makkah, Allah gave it back to him. See, today, it belongs to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Muslims. Who fought them? Who fought him? Who are they today? Because he was patient and faithful. So we need a lot of patience whenever we are passing through anything, and we should always be faithful to Allah. Allah wants to see the utterances of our mind, as he wants to see the utterances of our tongue whenever we are being challenged. But the Lord is there, and always remember, he is testing us, and he knows what we are passing through. All you need is just find his pleasure. Whatever your life brings, leave it. Life will always bring surprises. That's life. Yeah. Life will always bring surprises. What you don't expect, life will bring it. What is important is you don't lose Allah. Once you don't lose him, and you always think well about him, and you love him, forget about everything, you will laugh in the end. So you'll be happy in the end. It's like when you are writing your junk, you fail it, you write another one. As somebody who told me today, I've written that junk about 3 times. Now you don't get admission again. So that's how life could be sometimes. And I'll see if you are preparing for exams in schools, you may not be able to sleep well because of you want to pass. You live sacrificing so many things because you want to pass. In the end, you rejoice. That is how tests of life are. As long as you are a faithful believer, so definitely.
I'm glad you mentioned something about, you know, this person has written an exam several times. Sometimes hardship reveals hidden blessings, or even lessons, or opportunities, or inner strength that we couldn't, you know, have discovered otherwise. How can a believer train their heart to recognize the silver linings in the middle of a trial? And so, you know, on the back of this, you know, I'm looking at someone who's been tried with barrenness, subhanAllah, and is pushed to the wall and finds herself entering the streets and looking for what's not lost, subhanAllah, and visiting all sorts of, you know, unreal places just because of barrenness. And there's another one who's also barren but has put her complete trust in Allah and waiting for the right time. You know, how can you, what advice, because you're also a counselor, how can a believer train their hearts to see that, you know, light at the end of the tunnel, to stay on and hope for that best result at the end of the day?
As a Muslim, we may ask such a woman, for example, who are your role models? Definitely, if she's a true Muslim, it won't be long before she mentions Aisha radiallahu anha, the wife of the Prophet. How many children did she have? Aisha was never pregnant. She never conceived. And her husband was the Prophet. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Who can better pray to Allah than the Prophet? Whose prayer is more efficacious than that of the Prophet? Our father was Abu Bakr. He was the best man in Islam after all the prophets. Remove all the prophets. The best man in the sight of Allah from the day Allah created this world to the end is Abu Bakr. This is daughter Aisha of Allah and her. She never conceived, let alone having any child for the Prophet. And she was the only virgin the Prophet married, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She was his favorite, if we may put it that way. Yet, she lived without any child. What does that tell us? You are not a loser. It shouldn't be a stigma that you don't have any child. If Allah had written these children for you, so you can't manufacture them. find other ways through which you can help children. You look for orphans. Maybe Allah wants you to worship Him through orphans, not through your own direct children. So look for an orphan you can foster, either living in an orphanage or living in your room. Only that legal adoption is not allowed in Islam. That you treat a child as if it's your biological, you can only treat them yet like a biological child, but not an inheritance or in your name. It can't bear your surname. It bears his own parent's name or father's name.
But you can assume full responsibility for that child, whether under your roof or in the orphanage. You can assume full responsibility. You just don't change the child's identity.
Yes. You can do it fully without identifying your, without using your name. You treat it the way you can treat a child. But you must not use your surname. That's all. And his inheritance, he can take from your property, but through your will. You can will your property, one third of your property for him. The two third goes to wherever you want it to go, charity or whatever. So if you don't have your own direct children, it doesn't mean that you cannot be a parent as well. So Allah doesn't want us to be fathers and mothers alone. He wants us to be parents.
Indeed.
So you can just say, anybody can father a child or be a mother of a child. That's biological practice of life. But Allah wants you to be a parent and be involved in upbringing of a child, not only giving birth to them. So it's either yours or someone else. So that's just an example. We shouldn't see it as a stigma that one doesn't have a child or you don't have enough. If Allah had not written it for you, would you change Allah's school? Well, you can't change the order. Just accept and move forward. Look for something else to do in life. Like someone who is a woman and you are regretting that you are a woman. Can you change to a man?
Well, the Western world makes it possible, subhanAllah, astaghfirullah. They make it seem possible that they can convert you from a woman to a man anyways.
Yeah, well, they know they are crazy. And they know they are lying to themselves.
No.
And they know they are suffering in what? Those who do it.
No.
But it's not possible. So you just accept your faith. Or a man trying to say, a man who regrets to be a man, who wants to be a woman. Why don't you just accept your reality and move forward? But the important thing is, what do you achieve in life? What do you want your posterity to see for you, to be about you? And what do you want to meet in your final destination? So we should accept whatever Allah has destined for us. You see, we have two types of qadar. One is conditional. One is absolute. One is mutlak. One is muallak. The mutlak is, it's absolute. There's nothing you can do about it. You can't change your parents. You remain your parents forever. You won't change your gender. I'm talking to reasonable people.
Imam, I like that caveat you put out. Now, for those that can reason, subhanAllah.
So you can't change your gender. So what else can we change? You can't change. You can't change the color of your skin. So I believe I'm talking to reasonable people. I'm not talking about three words. So you can't change the color of your skins. You can't change your tribe. So you may not be able to change your height. If you hate yourself because you are short, you are just wasting your time. So you don't hate yourself because you are too tall. You can't change this. So accept your reality and move forward. To Allah, that's not important to Allah. What is important is your righteousness. And to people that may not be important, what is important is your resourcefulness. Are you resourceful to the world? Then with Allah, are you righteous in the sight of the Lord? So this one is absolute. So anything you know, this thing is absolute in your life. Don't worry yourself about it. So the other one is mu'allak, is conditional. It's based on cause and effect. You do it this way, it comes out this way. For example, you cannot become a professor and you not go to school. You can't say, if Allah says I will become a professor, even without going to school, that will never happen. It's only prophets of Allah who can become whatever Allah wants them to become in knowledge and prophets. And the knowledge is vouchsafed to them. But that will not happen to anyone again. So you have to go to school to become anyone who wants to be learned. You have to go to school. So sometimes you may be passing through a challenge, but that challenge is not mutlak. It's not, say, absolute. That lack is conditional. You have not done the right thing. You have not done the right thing. That's why you are still suffering. You have not talked to the right people. You have not behaved well. Take, for example, the issue of a woman who was married and she had to live with her mother.
And for those of you just joining, you are live on WFM 91.7 and we are looking at faith through hardship, finding strength in tests and trials. And subhanAllah, we did look at this 2 weeks ago. We're just going deeper into it. Imam, you're back. Assalamu alaikum. Yes, alhamdulillah. Welcome back, sir.
Okay. So I said, take, for example,
the woman who's married, that's where we lost you.
Okay. So the woman was married. And she had to live with her mother-in-law.
Mm.
At the first, everything was going, fine. Until after a while, this relationship became a bit sour. And the woman was complaining. The husband was not happy again. The mother-in-law, too, was not happy. So everybody was complaining. Then the woman told her friend about what she was passing through in her marriage. The friend advised her to see a herbalist. So she remembered there is a friend of her father, our late father, who was a herbalist. So she approached the man. That's why it's always good to, you need to talk to somebody, but who are you talking to? Even ordinary dreams you see, the prophet said, if it's bad, don't tell anybody. If it's good, don't tell anybody except someone you love. Someone who has good intentions, don't go knowledgeable. These are the people you tell your dreams. These are dreams, so not even their life or affairs. So why shouldn't we be selective and be careful when you are talking to people? Sometimes you talk to people about your marriages, and they are not marriage counselors. How do you want them to advise you? So a herbalist was approached. This woman went to her, to him. And the man said, my daughter, I know why exactly you have come. I will give you something to use so that your mother-in-law will allow you to rest. She has spent her own life, so you should not disturb your own. Ah, she was happy. That was exactly what she wanted. So the man brought out some
potions.
From the concoctions, give it to her. This one you'll be putting it in your mother-in-law's food. So, but make sure nobody knows about it. The man said that you have to, when you go back, you must be nice to your mother-in-law so that nobody will suspect you have any hand in her death if she eventually dies. Yes, yeah, that one is not difficult. So he got back home. He started applying this to her mother-in-law's food. And then she changed to the mother-in-law. So she would be the one to go to mother-in-law's to prepare. She would wash her clothes. She would clean her room. She would sweep. She would be the first to greet the mother-in-law. The mother-in-law too changed. She was treating her as her daughter. She would tell her, if your husband does anything you don't like, let me know. She would advise your daughter-in-law, our son, take care of your daughter, of your wife. It's a good woman now. So this everybody was happy. Then this wife thought that if she gave birth now, there is nobody who is going to even assist her except this mother-in-law. And since she has been a very good woman now, she doesn't want her to die. So she ran back to the herbalist. The herbalist said, well, my daughter, actually what I gave you is vitamin herbs to improve the health of your mother-in-law. The problem actually lies in your mind. The poison was in your mind. When you change your mindset, you became positive. you were doing the right thing, everything changed around you. People sometimes we complain about others. Why the problem actually lies in us? Sometimes we suffer some things. We think they are challenges of life, but you caused it. You caused it. You, Allah says in Allah, Allah over you may be coming, after over you may be unforeseen. Allah does not change the condition of the people until they change their mindset or they change the conditions of their mind. So sometimes you need to change the state of your mind. You are continuously suffering and you remain in your local government for all this while. I see that's the only place on
Allah. I think you are in local tree, like my sister would usually say, did they plant you there? Yes.
I think there is no other place in existence in the world. Allah put a single fill out. Travel in the land.
No.
So you remain in your local government, you don't want to leave, you don't want to. So if you know that especially if poverty has been endemic in your family, you know that you should not remain. You have to move elsewhere.
No.
To another state. Go to another country. When you make it, come back.
No.
And establish there. So things are we should look at challenges from also these angles. We should not always blame God for everything or whatever. Allah has left so many things in our hands. It's based on cause and effect. Is conditional. So Qadar is not always absolute. May Allah guide us aright.
Ameen, Ya Rab. I'm going to I'd like to open the phone lines. Last time we were here, I completely forgot to open the phone line. So I'm going to do that right now to be a part of today's broadcast. You can call us 07000-917-917. Alternatively, you can call 091-55-917-917 to be a part of the show. Of course, when your call comes through to the studio, please mute your radio set or move away from it so we can have the conversation directly. Speak directly from your phone and we'll have a smooth conversation, inshallah ta'ala. Imam, so sometimes, you know, people struggle when they see others seemingly living easier lives and they're wondering, why is that not me? That should have been me. You know, why am I going through all this hardship, you know? How can Muslims guard against envy, comparison, and feelings of injustice during these moments?
Okay. You see, sometimes Allah shows us that He loves us through denial. Allah may deny you something because He loves you. For example, your child that comes to you, mommy, sweet, you give me,
right.
You give her. She comes back, chocolate,
no.
You give her. She comes back, ice cream. Would you give her?
A sensible parent would not.
So she cries. Would you be forced to give her?
Some weaklings will. They'll succumb to it.
She throws tantrums. She said, she becomes violent. Would you still give her? Why don't you give her? You love her.
They're concerned about her health.
Yes. Allah can show us that He loves us through denial. He may not give you something now. He may have a plan to give you later. Or He may not give you at all. Because He knows it's not the best for you. So that is why we should just be patient with Allah.
No.
What is important is don't you lose your connection with Him. And your love for Him, because He knows better than you do.
No.
He created us. He created us. So you may not know what will happen if Allah has given you something. There are some people today, it's their riches that you take them to hellfire. People have been poor, they've not. There are some people you see in the masjid regularly. When they become rich, they don't have time again. Meeting here, traveling there, as if they are worshipping their money. They don't have the time for ibadah again. What kind of money is that? So, trials can be blessings in disguise.
No.
Trials can be blessings in disguise. There is a brother who came here recently. He had to miss his flight because he couldn't sleep. So he was not in the good mood. He came early in the morning, mom, please, can I see you? Very early in the morning, I said, ah, this is too early. He said, no problem, mom, no problem, come. So we had, everybody knew they were having a wedding, his wife. The day I had been appointed, they had produced wedding cards, all this. Then the wife called him that she was no longer interested in the relationship.
Huh.
After they had done everything, perfected everything, even they went for counseling. She just called, but she's no longer because of this, because of that, because of that's how it ended. She said she should not bother to even come to Ibadan to come and see her parents or whatever. She had already told them and they have accepted, and that's how they ended everything.
SubhanAllah.
So this girl was perturbed, he was disturbed, he was, you know, destabilized.
Naturally.
So when I asked him, did you do istikhara about this matter? He said, no, Monsieur, I did it for several days. I said, do you know the meanings of istikhara? Okay, what's the meaning? The meaning is for choice, for Allah to guide you to, and I believe I've made a lot of sacrifices on being because, okay. I said, look at what you were saying in your istikhara. Allahumma wa Allah. If it is in your knowledge, that this matter will be good for me, my deen, in my life, in my akhirah, make it easy for me and bless it for me. But if you know that it will not be good for me, my deen, in my life, in my akhirah, please take it away from me and take me away from it. And the better one, whatever it might be, direct it to me. I said, is that not what you said? He said, actually, that's what I said. I said, yes, answer your prayer.
Indeed.
I will be stopped. So this is the way. I want to have delayed it for a reason. And also, but this is how Allah has answered your prayer. That you not you only met, but you not lived together.
Hmm.
So he felt some relief, and shortly thereafter, he got another sister. So that's his new wife is the daughter of one of the kings in Ogun State there now. That's the person she now eventually married. And I met both of them. We met at Hajj recently.
Oh, sure.
So the man and wife. So Allah may have a better plan for you. So you may just want to wander around to see and to learn one or two things.
So the way he eventually serves you, that you appreciate it more, SubhanAllah.
So to learn about life. So that you can also guide others who are coming after you. That is life. I remember my first wife when she had her last child. So, and all her birth had been natural, but no CS. But the last one was the most difficult for her. So, I prayed so much. So, eventually, she had to go through the knife. They had to pass another knife. CS. Even though I prayed, you know, I want the normal delivery, but it was CS. So it wasn't that alone. I had to spend everything I had in my account then. On this matter. I remember when somebody asked me about, no more to give up. What about our people? I said, please leave that matter aside now. What is important is the safety of my wife.
No.
Because her condition then was not very good. So what is important now is our safety and the safety of the baby. So, but even though I prayed over this matter, but later I now discovered that Allah has actually answered my prayer in another way. Because I learned so much about a woman that is delivered through CS. How do they go about their nifas? So many fikir now came to me. This is why Allah has allowed it to happen this way. Now, if I want to tell you, if man is delivered through CS, there are certain things that have to do with fikir, which I better under because I've seen the practical.
No.
And apart from that, I didn't know Allah was preparing me for another thing. My second wife to ask you about through CS. So the knowledge I acquired from the first helped me in handling the other, the other one.
No.
So Allah has a way of, guiding us and teaching us. Just be submissive as a Muslim.
And trust the process more than anything else. Believing and trusting Allah and trust the process, knowing that he knows what he's doing.
The outcome matters, and the outcome will always be in your favor as long as you are a true believer.
No.
All you need is just your trust in Allah, your love for Him, dedication to Him, and your belief in Him. No. Everything will always be good for you. Allah guide us right.
Ameen, Ya Rab. We have a message from one of our regular listeners. Good morning, Imam and the host. Thank you for bringing this topic back. Please, what encouragement will Imam give our divorced brothers and sisters facing difficult times, co-parenting, and third parties and all of that? May Allah guide us aright. Thank you, sir. From Bola. Imam.
Ma'am.
Did you get the question?
Pardon?
Did you get the question?
Okay, it's a question.
Yes. What advice would you give our divorced brothers and sisters facing difficult times through co-parenting, third parties, influence, all sorts, What advice would you have for them?
The first thing is patience. Don't make important decisions when you are angry. Anytime you want to make important decisions about in your life, don't make it when you are angry, because you likely regret it. And whatever may happen, always maintain your decency and dignity, because this misunderstanding will pass, but your manners will linger on. It will become part of you.
The misunderstanding will pass. Please repeat that bit. That fight, that temporary fight, it will end.
Yes. The fight will end, but your manners will never. So everybody will remember it. Sometimes you have a quarrel with your husband, and the quarrel may not be a big one, but you use bad manner. That quarrel will end, but that manner will bring another problem in your marriage that you won't be able to even solve yourself again, because he remembers every day. Those of you who are coin, something like this, for example. If you have said it, you tell your husband he's not a right thinking person. So you will end your marriage. You end your fight, but that statement may end your marriage.
Indeed.
Because you say he's not a right thinking person. So you always remember that word. Maybe his father has never told him such a thing, or his mother has never used such a word for him. So you dare use it. So that's why anything we are passing through, just patience is very important first. Then maintain your decency and dignity. So, because life is just about faces. So one thing we face out, another thing we face in. Innama al-usri
yusra. Yes,
nothing is permanent in life except change.
No.
So things will change. Just be calm and be dignify yourself. Say good words. Endure. Be patient. And finally, talk to someone. Both of you, if possible, go for counseling. So you'll be guided to learn what Allah has, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, has for us in Islam and with the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, is Sunnah. About how to undo the matters. That is very important. And I always advise people, anytime you feel perturbed, so anxious, worry, or tense, learn to do something the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to do. Just perform ablution at that moment. Go back to Allah. Let Allah be the first one you talk to. Let Allah be the first you talk to. So you perform ablution. You may spend some time in your prostration. Talk to Him. Or just be saying Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah. Just be saying Subhanallah, Allah, Allah. As many as Allah knows why you are there. Allah knows why you are spending more time in your school than there before. Don't be praising Him, you'll be guided. So you'll be guided. Sometimes when you are confused and you are meant to say something or do something, it's always, it has worked for me. when I feel so many things, how do I handle this matter? I say, what I say now is very important to this matter, or what I do. The first thing is, let me just do Salat first. So by the time I finish, I know I'll be guided.
Mm.
So it's very important to always make Allah first in anything when you want to take any important decision about your life. But that decency is very important in anything we do, no matter what. Let's show we are mature. May Allah guide you alright and rectify our affairs.
Ameen, Ya Rab. Imam, I'm going to have to put you on the spot because I want you to help our audience, help us with more live examples, practical experience in your role as an imam, in your role as a counselor. You know, share examples with us, people that have gone through trials, how you guided them, and the aftermath, the resultant, you know, effect. Where, how did they pull out of it? When somebody comes with you and unburdens and downloads all the burden they're going through, how do you, what's the first thing? What do you find yourself telling them? How do you calm them? How do you, what verses do you give them to rekindle their faith? Especially those that have lost faith. Someone tells you, this problem has driven me to depression. I can't remember the last time I prayed my salah. And this person is someone you know that has been upright, has performed salah. Where's the niqab possibly? Or even where's the jilbab? And you know this person is of good character, but she's telling you that the trouble she's facing has pushed her to, you know, depart from salah. How do you get them back on track? Live, you know, practical examples, Imam, if you could, please, for the few minutes we have left.
Okay. Well, apart from what I've said before, so you know that when we have issues in life, people, we trust their imams. They want to talk to them and whatever. But I always tell people, you don't create yourself.
Mm.
Who created you? Allah. Who has allowed this to happen? Allah. Was this written? Yes. If it was not written, it wouldn't have happened.
Mm.
Who wrote it?
Allah.
So why have you come to me?
Mm.
So go to Allah, who wrote it. You can change it. Yes, he can rectify your affairs. Sometimes if Allah wants you to talk to him, or you want to, if you don't talk to him enough, he may humble you through trials. Because he wants to see your knees down. He wants to see your arms raised to him, asking him. He wants to see you spending more time you also do to talk to him. But some people don't get the point. You see yourself awake sometimes in the night. You cannot even sleep again. You do everything. You do every askar. Sleep is not coming. You don't know if Allah wants you to talk to him at that moment. Why wasting your time complaining you cannot sleep? You're moving around and around here, turning your pillows, doing your dear. Why don't you just get up and pray?
Hmm.
So these are some of the things I tell people. That's making Allah first in your life is very, very important. And that's what many people don't really do. And we venture, we do so many things. For example, a woman person was telling me that recently, a man in the hospital, he was told that his wife would be delivered through DCS.
Mm.
Man, he didn't have the money. True, he was afraid. So he was confused. At the hospital, he went to the corner of the hospital, he performed ablution. He went to a place in the pavement and was doing nafila. Before he ended the nafila, a nurse was looking for him. Mr. Man, your wife has been delivered.
Allahu Akbar Kabir.
When you gave birth without even that years.
Allahu Akbar Kabir.
Now that's years. So he just performed ablution where he was. He just went to a corner and he was praying, but you know, Allah first.
Mm.
So we have that problem of talking to people even before we talk to Allah. So let Allah see that we make him Akbar in our life. That's why just Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar, Allah is Akbar. There is this dua. If you look at the examples of the prophets in the Quran, look at Surah Al-Anbiya.
Hmm.
That's where Allah tells us more about the sufferings and the challenges prophets of Allah had. You will see the challenges of Prophet Nuh there, that of Prophet Ayub, that of Prophet Yunus, that's of Maryam, that's of Nabiullah Isa and Wiggy. So Allah listed a number of prophets. He told us their challenges. It's just that Abia is like a challenge. Sometimes I like to read it. If I feel, why is this happening? Maybe let me talk to Allah. True, where he talked about the challenges of the prophets and how he solved those problems. So that's the intention. Yeah, let me read the verse. I mean, it's the chapter in which Allah talks about the challenges of the prophets and how he solved it. Let me also read everything. So, to have this matter solved and resolved. So, the one of prophets here, are you there? How did they say it? Rabbi inni masani adoru wa anta arhamur rahimin. Hi, Lord, I'm in pain. You are the most merciful. I'm in pain, my Lord. Aha! Allah must hear this kind of thing. How the prophet Yunus, how did he say his phone? When he found himself in the belly of the whale, in the Thulamas, the darkness of the night, darkness of the belly of the whale, darkness of the sea, you know, what was he saying? La ilaha illa ant. Subhanaka. Inni kuntu min al-zalimin. La ilaha illa ant. Subhanaka. Inni kuntu min al-zalimin. There is no other God but you. Subhanaka. Glory be to you. Inni kuntu min al-zalimin. I know I'm among the wrong towards. I may be facing these challenges because I've wronged myself. But you are my Lord. I don't have any other Lord. Who do I run to? Apart from you. Whose door do I knock apart from your door, Allah? That's what he was saying. He was not saying, Allah already knows. He was just repeating this word, La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min adh-dhalimin. What did Allah say? Allah said, fastajabna lahu. We listened to him, and ajaynahu min al-gham, and we saved him from his agony. We saved him from disappearing, from his problem. Allah says, وَكَذَلِكَ نُنْجِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. That's how we do for believers. That is it. There was this man who wanted to see Imam Bukhari, who wanted to learn from Imam Bukhari. He traveled several miles, you know. Those times, there were no phones. So he wanted to make, but suddenly, when he goes to where he wanted to go and learn. Is it Imam Bukhari? No, it's not Imam Bukhari. It's one great Imam. So I can't remember his name. So when he got to that land, he discovered the Imam had been imprisoned. So he was jailed for a while, one reason by the tyrants, you know, who were the leaders then. This man was so, he felt so bad that he had traveled all these miles just to meet this scholar. Unfortunately, we need to meet him. Then he had a dream. This man had a dream that he saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet said to him that you are sad because of this person who had been imprisoned. That scholar tell him he should be saying Du'ahul Karb. The Du'ahul Karb in Sahih Bukhari. He should be saying it. He should be repeating it. Du'ahul Karb. Prayer when you are distressed.
Okay.
Yes, prayer for someone who is distressed.
Now, unfortunately, he's in Hisnu Muslim as well. So, for those that want to learn it, he's in Hisnu Muslim.
Yes. The man quickly, who woke up, he went to Sahih Bukhari, he went to Du'ah Kitab al-Adi'ya, the chapter on prayers, supplications. He looked for Du'ah al-Karib. Du'ah al-Karib. He found it. He Du'ah al-Karib. And what's that Du'ah al-Karib? Abdullah ibn Abbas said, when the Prophet was distressed, he used to say, La ilaha illallah, al-Halim al-Alim. La ilaha illallah, Rabbul Arush al-Azim. La ilaha illallah, Rabbul Samawati, wa Rabbul Ardi, wa Rabbul Arush al-Kareem. So when he saw, when he woke up and he found this dua, immediately saw the man in the place and said, can you give me audience? I want to talk to the man you had killed. So he went to him. He said, Sheikh, I've come to you from this place. I've come. And then when I came, I discovered you are in jail. What have you done? Sister Anselm. So he just chose to do whatever they wanted to do. So he said, but I had a dream. I saw the Prophet. He said, So the doing the Dua of the Caribbean Sahih Bukhari, and the man being a great scholar, he had it by heart saying, oh, Dua of the Caribbean Sahih Bukhari is this. La ilaha illallah, al-halim al-alim, la ilaha illallah, Rabbu al-arsh al-azim, la ilaha illallah, Rabbu al-samawati wa Rabbu al-ardi wa Rabbu al-arsh al-kareem. That's how the man started doing it. He started doing it. Shortly after that, the king of the land said, ah, this sheikh you have imprisoned, what did you say indeed? Bring him to my court. He was brought and said, I think I'll be a shame here. I don't know, Lord, let's leave him, please let him go. That's how the man was released. That's how the man was released. After saying this, there's his askar. So, Allah is the one who allows everything to happen. Let him always be first. You may need to talk to somebody. Yes, talk to people, talk to righteous people. Let them guide you so that you don't make mistakes. Because if you are not careful, at say the peak of that challenge, you may have suicidal thoughts. So you may destroy things, but like I said, that patience is very important, and calmness and your decency, whatever it might be. We are not getting younger, we are getting older. As we are getting older, we should be getting wiser. So we should be getting wiser. I think somebody, so you should not be childish when something happens to you, throwing tantrums like children, abusing, cursing. For how long?
No.
But that's the problem for people. You are still childish.
No.
So things will happen. No. But are you not getting older? Anything, you should be getting wiser as you are getting older. So that maturity, where is it? Whatever problem you may have, yours will be the first and yours will be the last. It's part of life.
Now. Alhamdulillah, Jazakallah khair. We're actually out of time, but alhamdulillah for where we landed. May Allah increase you in wisdom, in knowledge, in sound health, sound mind. Jazakallah khair for always coming through for us and to our audience. Jazakallah khair for staying tuned till now. Of course, you can catch up with all of our past episodes on our website, www.mpac-ng.org/everydaymuslim. You can also catch up with our episodes on our YouTube page, Everyday Muslim, and all of our social media handles. Jazakallah khair to you all. And of course, thank you to Ayobide, Hilary, and all the guys behind the scenes. Farida, thanks for supporting me. Mam, inshallah ta'ala, Jazakallah khair. And hopefully, we'll call you again and you'll honor us. So, see you next week, inshallah, with another beautiful packing of Everyday Muslim. Until then, ma'asalam.
Assalamu
alaikum.
To sponsor this program, call the number 0816-480-7613.
When I was young, I was a fool. I was blind, didn't know any better. I was afraid I made too many mistakes, and you'd only look at me as a sinner. No matter how much I would try, all the walls I put up always shattered, until your mercy conquered me. Oh Allah, you know I love my insecurity. Whatever I did, whatever I said that's wrong, it was only because I was fed up. I thought I could do it all, that I was strong, but it turned out I wasn't so clever. No matter how much I would try, all the walls I put up always shattered, until your mercy conquered me.